Hello, friends. This is Ted from Out of This World Radio, and I have a fascinating fellow on my show today named George Smith. He's coming to us all the way from the United Kingdom, where he's had a lifetime of fascinating UFO experiences. With me today will be my friend Tom from Hawaii. You can see the picture of the whale there because he's in Hawaii right now. But George, how are you doing today? And thank you so much for coming on my show. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me. I'm doing very well today. Thank you.
Oh, good. Oh, good. Now, in your background, you grew up in a family farm in Aberdeenshire, which is in the northeast of Scotland. It must be very beautiful there.
Yeah, we're on edge of the good farming land, going into the scenery of the mountains. And we'll have some snow-capped mountains soon.
Oh, good. Wonderful. Wonderful. And you've got quite a bit of interest in Donald Trump. Could you tell us why?
Yes. Now, Donald Trump's mother actually was born in the Outer Hebrides in Scotland.
Really?
She was in the west coast of Scotland. I am on the east coast of Scotland. And she came from an island called Lewis in the Outer Hebrides. They have a very large stone circle. And you'll find that in this subject, we will be speaking about stone circles quite often.
Okay. All right. All right. Great. Great. Just a real quick question. Do the stone circles have a lot of spiritual significance?
Yes, they have. These stone circles we have in Scotland, we've got just over 500. And in Aberdeenshire, we've got 99 is what the paperwork says, or Google or whichever says. But I understand we have more than 99 stone circles. Some of them you cannot see as in stones because there's a hill there which has created the, the energy is there, though the stones are not there, the energy is there.
I see. Fascinating.
And that's important in this subject.
Fascinating. Well, you've had a lifetime of experiences with UFOs and beings from other planets. Tell me about the incident that happened in 1978. That was quite a few years ago, but let's start off the program with that. What happened then?
Okay, this was what we'd been feeding the cattle. They weren't quite finished. Went in, had some tea. My father, he said to me to pop out and finish feeding the cattle. It was just some hay that had to be put in front of them. I thought nothing about it, went out, did my little chore there, came out to the cattle shed, as I opened the big door for coming out, I saw this big bright light in the south of where we were positioned, where a farm was positioned. And the light was heading sort of west, dropping in the sky. And before it went down behind the hills, it turned into the shape of a fish, reddish in color. The light, for a start, was about a third of the size of a full moon. I came in, I hurried in, told my mother what I'd seen. She said, "Oh, it's okay, not to worry." Well, later on that night, at the 9 o'clock news, as 9 o'clock news was on, my mother excitedly said, "Oh, look, that's what you told us about earlier tonight. Other people have seen the light." And what happened was it dropped into the valley at the other side of the hill from where I lived.
Wow. Amazing. Amazing. Now you've also you've interacted with them personally, haven't you? You've met them, and tell me, I know there's a lot to ask, but just briefly, give us a couple of examples if you can.
Yes, this is what the listeners wanting to hear, because they're being told one story by the media, but we need to let the listener know what we are experiencing. And in the early days, when I would meet some of the ETs, one of the interesting ones was when they came to my bed, to my bedroom, and they were at the foot of my bed. Two little wee ETs, gray in color, just over a meter in height. The eyes were the same eyes as what we have. The face, slightly pointed chin, little mouth, but they didn't speak with their mouth. Everything was done through telepathic communication. When the two of them were there, there's quite a few things happened. When we were speaking for a start, I am apologizing to them for not being ready. And they're saying, it's okay, don't worry, it's okay, it's okay. And they're in humorous conversation with me. But at the same time, there's an aura of light around the two little ETs. Now, I knew these two little ETs because I was interacting. I'd been interacting with these ETs for a long time. Though it was the first time they allowed me to see them and to be allowed to remember what they looked like. This is important in this whole subject because some people only learn some things about their experience many, many years later. Sometimes they never remember any of the things that happened.
Sure.
So what happened on this occasion? Telepathically, they said, we've come to do a test. Something went wrong. So we're now in a goodbye situation. When we were in the humorous situation, there was this beautiful light glow around the bodies. And then we went into the goodbye situation where they're saying goodbye to me, and there's a very dim glow around the body. And that suddenly made me sort of like waking up. It was like, that was a shock to me, because why was there a bright glow and now there is a very little thin glow around the body? And that's what I remember the following morning.
I see. Interesting. Now, have they shared technology with you, and what have they shared with you?
Yes, they have shared technology. They have asked me to work on technology. And way back in the 1990s, one of the technologies they wanted me to work on, this is way before I had the internet. They wanted me to work on it, getting an engine to run using water as a fuel.
Oh, really? Fascinating.
And I spent years and years working in my shed, just part-time, you know, maybe doing four hours a night, and as money would allow, because when you're working on technology, you're always spending, always.
I see.
So anyway, over the years, I knew I was going to get this engine to run, but it took quite a long time to eventually get there. Now, when I got the engine to run, I then found out seven different ways of running an engine using water as a fuel.
Really?
And I got the engine to run in 1998. And as I say, I learned seven different ways to run an engine, basically one per month after that.
Well, fantastic.
And one that excited me was using vibrational frequency.
Vibrational frequency. How interesting. You know the story of Stan Meyer. There are reports he was actually murdered back in the 90s after he came out with his water engine. And there are people still interested in that. Many think that Negatives intentionally got rid of him because, of course, it would have ruined the world oil market. And we can't have that, can we? Can't have free energy.
Oh, no.
But so you found there's seven different ways to run like a water car. Is that right? A water engine? Or how does that work?
That is correct. If you have an engine that uses petrol with a spark plug, there are seven different ways that I know of. Now, if I know of seven different ways, then there's far more than that.
Wow, interesting. So, in other words, seven different, is that seven different fuels or seven different engines, different kinds of engines?
Seven different ways to break the water down into the molecules of hydrogen and oxygen.
I see. Okay.
And the way that I did it for a start was using a 12-volt battery, using a lot of energy just to break the water down.
I see. Okay.
But using vibrational frequency, you only need 5 amps of power to run a 3.5-liter engine.
Really? Oh, my gosh. That's amazing.
Yes.
Well, Dr. Masaru Emoto used to say that everything is vibration. Everything is hato. And if you change the vibrational frequency, you can help, really help people with any spiritual or physical condition. And apparently what you're saying now, if you change the frequency, you can also produce free energy from water. Is that right?
That is correct. Yes. You could buy a brand new car, petrol engine car, take 1 liter of water, break that down and run your engine and collect it out of the exhaust and rerun it through the engine. So you could run your whole car its entire life with 1 liter of water. But we're way past that.
Oh my God, that's incredible. That's incredible.
We're way past that. I have better technology for you than that.
Well, fantastic.
But the thing is, it's a learning process.
It's a what? Sorry? It's a what in process?
It's a learning process. Learning.
Learning
it's
process.
About people
I see.
Learning.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Okay. Tell me, George, what about your star brothers and sisters, your star family? Tell us a little bit about that if you can.
Yeah. Sam. Now, I was at a UFO meeting in Birmingham. This was way back in the 1990s. And two of the speakers there, one was Tony Dodds, the other one was Robert O'Dean. He's from your neck of the woods.
Okay.
And Superman he was, Superman. He's gone now. And Tony Dodds said to me at the meeting in Birmingham, he says, be ready to meet your star brothers and sisters. So I said, okay. On my way home from Birmingham that on that weekend, the trip, I came up to York. I looked in the car clock and it's 5:45. I thought, right, I'll stop at a nice bar and have something to eat. My next recollection was I'm in the countryside and I'm passing this bar, and a thought came into my head. Telepathic message, and it was, come into this bar. So I turned the car around, and I went back to this bar. Mm-hmm. But this bar was in the countryside.
Mm-hmm.
So I went into the bar. I ordered a drink. The bar was full, absolutely full. There was a pool table in the middle and people were sitting on the edge of the pool table. But I felt these two people looking at me. And these people were sitting across the room, quite a distance from where I was. Uh-huh. And I was looking at them across the pool table. And at all time, they could see me and I could see them. Even though the bar was absolutely crowded and mobbed. No one would stand between our eyesight or vision.
I see.
So telepathically, because of what Tony Dodge said, I asked, if you are who I think you are, can you do something? So the woman, she got up and did as I asked. The man, he came across and said hello to me and said something. And I was blown away. So anyway, I finished my drink and got out of there, because things like this doesn't happen every day of the week, you know. So I'm driving along a road and got to this village called North Allerton. Went into the bar and thought, right, I need to get something to eat now. Asked for a menu, asked for my food. I was food that I asked for. So the woman says, oh, I'm sorry, but the chef is gone. And I said, what time does he stop? Oh, she says, he stops at 8:30. So I took my drink and I went through to the pool room and I sat in the pool room watching pool being played. But I'm thinking, why is it past? Oh, I asked her the time and she says it's 9:00. Uh-huh. I'm thinking, why is it 9:00? 6:15, I was in the outskirts of York. I went into that little bar that I'd been asked telepathically to come into. I left there in a hurry. That only took a period of about 15 minutes in total. The time I'd been driving, probably not much more than 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. So I could account, as you understand, I could account for something up to, say, 6:30. But I'm left now.
You had missing time.
2.5 hours missing.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I had missing time again.
Yeah. Wow.
Which happens a lot within this subject.
I see.
But I had a detail. Exactly. Now, these two people that I saw in the bar, I met them a short while later at the Stone Circle in Aberdeenshire.
Oh, really? Interesting.
Or should I say, I was measuring the stones between each stone, and the man and the woman walked down a pathway down past the stone circle, and the man telepathically gave me a message, and he said, "They're not the same, are they?" And I looked up and I looked over at the man and the woman, and said, "No, they're not." And look back at what I was doing, and then I told a friend of mine who was with me, and said, that was strange. What? The man and woman told me they're not the same. She says, what man and woman? I says, over there. And they disappeared. They had disappeared. So a short while later, I went following week, 2 weeks later, I met at my friend in Aberdeen. And I told her what was going on, some of the things that had been happening. And as I recollect some information, the man and the woman that I saw in the bar in York, and the man and the woman that I saw at the Stone Circle in Aberdeenshire, are the same man and woman that I meet on board the craft.
Interesting.
And all that happened within the space of 2 months.
Now, you said you entered onto the craft. What did the craft look like?
Right. Inside the craft. Now, I've been in quite a few of the rooms in the craft. There's let's go for the hospital room first, we will say. It's very light. All very, very light, but you don't see where the light is coming from. The walls are very clean, plush. Every time I am on the table, the wall is on my left-hand side, and on my right-hand side is a passageway, and then there is like a perspex. You would think it's a perspex screen. And it has different colors, a bit like a lava lamp color, you know, there's pinks, there's greens, there's reds, blues. And this has information about me.
Interesting.
So when I am on the bed, what's on that screen, and it, they understand whatever light colors are coming up, that has to do with what's going on within my body or my brain or whatever.
Sure, right.
So that's all on the left-hand side. So anyone who's been on a craft will be able to recognize that information.
Wow.
Yes, I understand that. That makes sense.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Now, on the craft, were they human-looking entities? What were they look? What did they look like? Did you see their faces?
Yes, the man and the woman that I meet, and would we say the doctor who looks after me on the craft? They are all. They could walk down the street today and nobody would know any difference.
Oh, I see.
They look like us.
Okay.
But hugely intelligent. But when you're on the craft, you feel love oozing from the walls.
I see. Well, that's
love
wonderful.
Love oozes from everything.
That's great. Wow.
And it's important not to have bad thoughts on the craft.
Were you on a Pleiadian ship? Do you know?
I would think it probably is a Pleiadian ship.
All right. All right.
I haven't been allowed to recall.
Okay.
But we can go into more detail and
right. We've got about a half
if
hour.
You want, we can go.
Yeah, we've got about a half hour left, so I just
want
to make sure. Now, I know that I've been on a Pleiadian ship many times, mothership. And the ship itself is half organic and half metal, so that if you have bad thoughts, you could cause a lot of harm on the ship, to the ship itself. So it's always good to remain positive on the ship. That's what I know of being on a Pleiadian ship. So
this is the reason they have allowed me freedom on the ship, because I am less likely to cause damage. But if
that's
someone
good.
Was there who would have negative thoughts, that person cannot be allowed to remember.
I see.
Does that make sense to you?
They wouldn't be allowed to remember. In other words, do they stop them from thinking negative thoughts, or are they not let them on the ship at all?
Yes, they would stop them from thinking any thoughts at all.
Okay.
The craft is more important than we are.
well, that's good. That's interesting. Yeah, that's interesting.
Should I say?
Yeah. Now, I wanted to ask you, I want to cover as much as I can in today's interview, George. I wanted to ask you about Donald Trump's visit to the UK and the Vatican. What do you know about that?
Yes. Now, because my interest is, I have a lot of interest in Donald Trump for many reasons. There's some major things are going to be happening in Aberdeenshire, where I am from. And when you understand my story, my experiences, you will understand that potentially this will happen worldwide. Now, Donald Trump is cleaning the swamp. He's draining the swamp. And some of these people in the swamp don't want to be drained.
I see.
They don't want to be shown up.
Mm-hmm.
But Donald Trump is making a fairly good job of that just now, I understand.
Yes.
When he did his first meeting in Florida 4 years ago, when he got into power, he kept saying for 20 minutes, do not trust the media, fake media. He kept telling the people.
Right.
But some people out there still believe that BBC is telling them the truth, or CNN. There are some good news networks out there. Mm-hmm. I can give you the name of one or two of them if you want.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It is a major operation that Donald Trump is doing, but it's not Donald Trump on his own. It is a team behind him. And he has a major team behind him. Not only does he have the military behind him, who is a good team, who have been monitoring this for a very, very long time.
Mm-hmm.
But I understand he has the Galactic Federation behind him. And I think that's being shown by his actions, because everything he does it by the book. Though the media try to tell people, he's done this, he does that, they twist right. every word he says.
Right.
But Donald Trump is looking after the people, I understand. Now, mm-hmm. he came to Britain, and when he came, he'd been to the Arab countries, he'd been to the Vatican.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when he came to Britain, he met with the Queen at Blenheim Castle. And we'd been told beforehand he was going to be meeting the Queen. We'd got information that things were going to happen. When the media were watching the Queen and Donald Trump on the podium.
Mm-hmm.
And Donald Trump and the Queen came off the podium and they went to walk the guards. Now, normally the Queen is in the background, and the person that she's hosting walks the guard. But on this occasion, Donald Trump and the Queen were a bit confused because the Queen didn't know where she was really supposed to be on this particular day,
mm-hmm.
because she was the one that was supposed to be walking the guard, but she didn't do it.
I see. Interesting.
Donald okay. Trump gave her the privilege. They walked the guards, they went back onto the stage, onto their podium. So Melania Trump is on the right-hand side as you're looking at the podium. The Queen got up onto the middle on the highest one, and Donald Trump onto the left-hand side, the right-hand side on the lower one. Then the Queen turned to Donald Trump and put out her right hand and swapped positions with Donald Trump. Now, that's a very important thing that happened, mm-hmm. because what she was telling the Freemasons and the people in power was, mm-hmm. we have lost this battle. Donald Trump is now in power. He is the one in charge. This year, the Queen left Buckingham Palace.
Mm-hmm.
Prince Charles left the south of England, and he was supposed to have come up to Aberdeenshire, to uh-huh. where I stay.
Uh-huh.
But when you look at their eyes now, mm-hmm. their eyes are not the color they used to be.
Really?
Their eyes are black. And when you look at Joe Biden, his eyes used to be blue. When you look at Joe Biden today,
that's true.
His eyes are black. So what is going on?
Hmm.
Most of your listeners will know what's going on, probably.
Well, from a psychic perspective,
things have got to... Yeah, on you go.
From a psychic perspective, if people have jet black eyes, they usually have extremely negative entities within them. They could have reptilians inside of them. They could have all kinds of negative entities within them. That's what I know about jet black eyes.
Yeah, I don't think these people are who were being told in the BBC or a CNN. I don't think they are who we're being told. But let us wait and see what Donald Trump and the military have got in store.
Right, right.
And I think we're going to see a very interesting time. Here, last week, I was, what we say, harassed by the police for the 125th time.
What did you do? Walk across this? Did you jaywalk across the street or something? Or
no, I didn't. They normally, when they see my vehicle, I get quite a lot of harassment from them. But anyway, they came and they searched the van. They searched my vehicle. Mm-hmm. 5 hours, I think a total of 5 hours they were. But what the police were more interested in, because in the past they've been looking for an anti-gravity device, mm-hmm. and the paperwork related to it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But what they were interested in this time was what is going on and what's UFOs, what are they up to, and what are you being told? And they're wanting that type of information.
Uh-huh, sure.
But when I was speaking to them, I told them that I understand they are no longer in position of power, that their powers have been taken from them. Mm-hmm. And they said that they hadn't heard about this. But an article was sent to me 2 days ago, which said that their corporation here in Britain has been taken down. And that would have been Monday or last Friday.
Oh, really?
That their corporation has been taken down.
Interesting. Yes. Interesting.
So we don't know if the police now and if they have any power here in Britain. But they will continue to think they have power until the penny drops, you know?
Interesting. Interesting. Wow. Wow. I wanted to ask you, this is a question earlier, but why are the Pope's shoes red, by the way?
Right. Yes. When Donald Trump went over to the Vatican, uh-huh. he has a pile of papers. Of all the things that these people have been doing, which is not good for humanity. And the Pope at the Vatican would not sign. So for 2 days, I understand Donald Trump was waiting for him to sign. And he kept saying, wear your red shoes when you sign the document. Now, the red shoes. I don't want to offend anyone. When they have done bad things to little people, children,
okay.
The red shoes are not made of normal leather. It's skin. And it's very disappointing. So the Vatican, I understand, has all been cleared out and emptied. But I can give you details of someone who has more information on that subject, and you would be able to go to his site and learn up about that.
Because, okay, good. Go ahead and give us the website if you have it.
Better people than me.
Okay, what website do you have?
Yes. If for that one, it's a guy called Dr. Charlie Ward.
Oh, right. Okay.
Bring up his. Okay. You've heard of him?
Yeah. I love his work. He's great. Yeah. He's great. Yeah.
He's very good. He has a lot of viewers now, 4.7 million viewers now. He comes out, he has a lot of very good people on his show. And he has more information on the subject than I have.
I see.
So,
okay.
But it's about getting information out to the people, isn't it?
Yeah, so absolutely.
Dr. Charlie Ward And there's another guy there, Simon Parks, I think, is fairly good as well. For anyone,
I know Simon.
Anyone that wants places to go and have a look.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. I wanted to ask you, George, we've got about 15 minutes left. Have you ever brought friends of yours onto the craft?
Oh, yes.
Tom is helping me with these questions. I have to give credit to Tom. So thank you, Tom, in Hawaii, for your help.
Yes, right. Right. This was, I understand it is the 21st of October. 21st of September. 6:15 at night, I was asked to go out that night. Okay. So I phoned a few friends. Well, I phoned a friend of mine. So it was arranged we would go to a stone circle near Inverurie, which is about 14 miles from me. I asked what time. Oh, she says 10:30 at night. I says, yeah, perfect. Everything's now arranged, 10:30. But what she didn't understand was, and what they didn't understand, there was a lot of people involved in all this process.
Mm-hmm.
So went down, met with the daughter, and the daughter's going to come with us. But the daughter held us up for quite a long time. She couldn't find her cleaner. It was just... So anyway, I said, right, I'm going. I'm going without you.
Couldn't find her what?
Couldn't find her footwear.
Oh, footwear.
Whichever one she was going to wear. So anyway.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. So eventually she come and running out. Come on, I'm coming. We parked our car where we normally park it, going to the stone circle.
Mm-hmm.
We're running late, quite a bit late. We're nearly 15 minutes late at this time, 15, 20 minutes late. So we're walking up this road, and out of the clear sky, night sky, a big light appeared, sort of lowish in the sky, but where it was, it was shining through this tree with no leaves on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's autumn time. And we watched the light for a short while. It then crossed south from our position. At this point, it's looking east. We are looking east. The size of the light was about half the size of the moon.
Uh-huh.
Maybe even increasing to 3/4 uh-huh. of the size of the moon. It crossed around the sky and went into a cloud. When it went into the cloud then, it went from the dark color of a cloud to the colors of a lava lamp. Reds, blues, greens, purples, yellows, oranges. And all these colors are moving around. And eventually this cloud could have been 1/4 mile in size, and it was oval shaped.
Mm-hmm.
And out of the cloud came a craft, and a UFO came out of the cloud, and the front of it stopped. And we could see windows along the side. They were teardrop shaped.
Mm-hmm.
The front had stopped, but the windows began to come together and look like round windows as the tail of the craft came out of the cloud.
Mm-hmm.
But yet the front of the craft had already stopped quite a while beforehand.
Hmm.
So this craft had gone from a stretched out object to be able to go into something like a concertina shape.
Well,
was the windows really round or windows oval shape? We don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So then we saw the craft go over back of trees and disappear. So the people with me said, oh, it's landed. The craft has landed. Come on, let's go. I said, no, the craft hasn't landed. Yes, it has. I said, no, it's gone. It's gone south. So we went back down to the car and we drove along this road, and they accepted, okay, the craft is gone. Went back home to the girl's house that had held us up. And the time that we had got to that spot was approximately 10 to 11, 20 minutes mm-hmm. late.
Mm-hmm.
When we got back home to the girl's house, people are on the internet seeing what they had seen. They had seen something in the sky. It took until 1 o'clock in the morning for the last people to say what they had seen.
Wow.
And these people were in Cornwall.
Wow, amazing.
But the media, the BBC, which, well, whoever wants to believe him, they told the people it was a meteorite that passed over Britain that night.
Interesting. Okay. Or maybe a weather balloon, like they claimed in Roswell, you know, weather balloon coming over.
Or a weather balloon, or because 3 days later, after experiences like this, I will ask people to come back with me.
Sure.
And when they go back and they start to go through what happened, where the light originally appeared and it went into the cloud, everything was the same for them. Yeah, I'm standing in this position, they're saying, and I'm standing in this position. I said, so where were you when it went over the back of the, you went over the back of the stone circle and down behind the trees? And they said, we weren't here. And they're looking at each other, scratching their head, thinking, where were we? So we walked up the road quite a distance. They said, we were here.
Interesting.
But you would think that should be the end of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
A month later, I'm looking for a camera to go and take photographs of UFOs.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to this place that does pictures, artwork, etc. So speaking to the guy there, and he says, what do you want the camera for? What's it exactly for? So I sort of quietly said, to take photographs of UFOs.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he said. Then he told me about something he had seen. And that was the same night
mm-hmm.
as we were at this stone circle.
Mm-hmm.
But he was in Aberdeen in a multi-story skyscraper. His friend had gone to the kitchen and he was looking out the window and he saw lights over the stone circle area and he saw streaks of light shooting down from underneath the UFO. Wow.
Amazing. That's amazing.
What he witnessed, he actually witnessed us being taken onto the craft and being put back down.
Oh, that's amazing. That's amazing, George. That's amazing. George, we've got about 6 minutes left, and you know, I'll have to have you on, but I've got a couple more questions to ask. Have you had any interaction with the military?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
Yes. Now, the military in 1997-98, the military had been watching me carefully because these two little ETs that had come to my bedroom that particular night we spoke about, I drew a mural of them on my petrol tank in the motorbike. And I changed one part. I changed the eyes. The military came and spoke to me and they gave me information. They said, your friends up above came and spoke to us. They said, back off, leave George alone. Now we want you to go and give George this information. So here's the information that our star brothers and sisters gave to the Air Force at RAF Lossiemouth in the north of Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine you get up in the morning, you come downstairs, you have a fish tank, and you go and you look to see the fish are okay.
Mm-hmm.
You look for your favorite fish, see they're fine. Says you feed the fish, you go and have your breakfast, you fly to London, you make a phone call to America. You come back home at night, You go to the fish tank and you look to see that your favorite fish is okay and everything's fine in the fish tank.
Mm-hmm.
He says, how do you tell the fish what you've done all day? Their world is the fish tank.
I see.
He says, we, and I'm going on nodding all the time.
Right.
He says, we are the fish in the fish tank, and your friends are us going, having breakfast, flying to London, making a phone call to America.
Wow.
How do you tell the fish how this all works?
Sure, sure. That's it. That's
and
an
that
interesting.
And that was with the Air Force.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to get as much information as I can, George. I'll have to have you back again. But I wanted to ask you about what do you know about Nisara and Jisara? And will that happen? Briefly.
Yes, I am 100% confident it will happen. I understand they've tried to do it many times before. Well, two times before. JFK was going to do it, but they didn't realize how powerful the negative forces were here on planet Earth.
Sure.
They tried again, I understand, at 9/11. Again, not realizing how dangerous things were. And this time, this is why it is being very, very carefully rolled out and very extremely cautious at the rolling out process. And I think it will happen. Now, there's an interesting thing, because 3 days ago, four days ago, I got my check from the government for the farm. They give us a check every year. But this check has always gone further back. It used to be May before I'd get this check. But this year, it has come right up to date. And we've got our check on time this year, which tells me there's a lot of things going on behind the scene.
Right.
And this is going to happen. It will.
Wow. Do you know Robert?
I understand Nisara could happen. Yeah, on you go. On you go, sorry.
Go ahead. Just go ahead and finish your sentence. Yeah, that'd be fine.
I understand that Nisara could be rolled out in America maybe for Christmas, because Donald Trump has told the people that Christmas is going to be amazing for them in America.
Really? Wow, that's
good
news.
It would be great if he does.
That's good news, yeah.
It would be great if he does. I look forward to it happening for the people, for the poor people, because a lot of people need some good hope. And I understand that in the new year, it could be rolled out throughout the rest of the world. But
wow.
We have to wait and see how things progress.
Well, that's amazing. That's amazing. Well, George, I have a lot more questions, but I'm running out of time today. And I'm obviously going to have to do another interview with you. So maybe we could do it. Well, we'll talk off the air in a few minutes. But anyway.
That's right. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And your book is called UFOs and the Fish Tank. The Truth is Here. And I wondered why you called Fish Tank. And now I know why. It's interesting how the analogy between us living in a fish tank and not really being aware of beyond what's in our particular little tank, when there's a whole universe out there of what's really going on. Then that's a really interesting analogy you've given. I want to thank you so much for that. That's incredible. Yeah, that's incredible. Just real quick.
Things are going to be amazing shortly.
Yeah.
Well, really amazing.
Wonderful.
100%.
Wonderful. Wonderful, George. Tell me, George, any last words of advice for people listening to this broadcast today? Go ahead, and I've got to turn off. Got to turn off my water in the stove.
Be positive. Be positive. Things are going to happen. It's not about the money, but money will come. Have positive thoughts. You create the reality that is out there.
Wow.
You can create it. And if we had time, I could have told you about a tree experiment that I did, where I had a tree keep its beautiful green leaf right through to the new year.
Okay.
And the neighboring tree next to it, a sycamore, the trees were off in September.
Okay. Well, let's talk about
the weather. I actually can change the weather.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, let's talk about that on the next interview. And George, I want to thank you so much. Is there a way people can reach you? Do you have email or a website people can go to?
I'm not very well contactable just now because okay. I'm keeping my head low for
That's fine. I understand.
For other things.
People can contact me and then we can go from there.
If you did get the information out.
Sure. My email address is
thank you.
Is my email address is outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. And for those interested in contacting George, they can just write me and we can take it from there. Well, George, thank you so much for sharing all your wonderful wisdom today. And I know that people will really enjoy hearing we're going to have a good Christmas in it. I know we're going to have a wonderful New Year as well. And I think there's going to be a lot of disclosure about a lot of good things coming. And with that thought, George, I hope you and your family have a wonderful and fantastic New Year, and Merry Christmas to you. And thank you again so much for coming on my show today. Really appreciate it.
And thank you for having me. Thank you very much. Thank you.
So good. And Tom,
all the best to all the listeners.
Okay, thank you so much. That was George Smith coming to us live from Scotland, and my friend Tom in Hawaii as well, providing assistance. And with that, I hope you all have a beautiful and happy Christmas and a new year. And thank you so much again for supporting Out of This World Radio. Bye bye, everyone, and Merry Christmas.
Bye. Bye.
Okay, hold on here.